The other day I went for a walk, about 2 weeks ago. It was, we'd had some nice weather and the snow had been melting, and we had a couple, 2 inches of snow or so that fell, and I went for a walk. As I was walking, I followed tracks in the snow, and some guy apparently was had gone before me, and I was intrigued by the tracks that I saw, and began to let's see if we can tell the story of this fellow, and just by using the tracks. And so I was following the tracks, and I didn't know what to expect. In fact, I didn't know all that I would come to see. I knew right away that this was a guy, and he was enjoying the day. Well, we walked up Thornington and turned at Elephant Park and was going down that street by the school. And I thought, okay, it looks like this guy has some arthritis in his left hip. The tracks seem to indicate that he's must about this time he's feeling that arthritis in his left hip. Poor fellow. And then, as I kept going, I saw the steps walking across what must have been ice under the snow, because I saw some skid marks around. And I said, okay, he's probably thinking, oh no, there's ice under the snow. I think I better do the splits here. Just the marks. And so very shortly after that, by the marks I saw, he must have been saying to himself, I'm really glad I have good balance. Maybe I'll try a little tap dancing here. And then almost right away, it was almost like these things were happening almost instantaneous. If I fall, how will I get back up, since it takes me 5 stages just to get out of bed? And somehow you just know when these tracks are showing this. And then he said, well, at the same time, he said, well, maybe I'll try my hand at some ballet. And so maybe a pirouette or some point technique. And then it started to get serious. If I'm injured, I'll sue him. And then right away, with that, it seemed like, what kind of dance is it when my heel is on the ground and both knees are above my ears? It just seemed like the tracks that were indicating this. And then eventually the tracks kind of returned to normal, except that, you know, feet side by side, but one was pointing the wrong direction. And I just knew that the guy was thinking, I nailed it. And then the tracks kind of shuffled off to the side into deeper snow off of the sidewalk, and they continued on, and resuming his way along his walk. Eventually, he arrived at the dentist's office. Passage of scripture that we're looking at today is this, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Perhaps you'll see why I use this illustration, because as we read this, and I'm reading this from a translation you probably don't have. This is Kenneth Wiest wrote a translation, and this is how he wrote it, and I really like it because it's really true to the original language in this. And so if you follow along here, you can follow along in your Bible too, but this is just a different translation, English translation. Be constantly taking heed, therefore, how accurate you are conducting yourselves, not as unwise ones, but as wise ones, buying up for yourselves the opportune time, because the days are evil. On this account, stop becoming those who are without reflection or intelligence, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And stop being intoxicated with wine, in which state of intoxication there is profligacy. That's like common conversation. But be constantly controlled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always concerning all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, putting yourselves in subjection to one another in the fear of God. The passage. Lord, I pray that you would today, at this time, clarify these things to our benefit. Help us to make application of these things by your Holy Spirit who is at work in us. Clarify these things so that we will not forget them, but we will be reminded of them at those times in which we really need to pay more close attention to this passage, and also to a careful walk. Help us, Father, that we might champion these things for your glory, to accomplish your purpose. And we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just have a few points I want to make from this. There's actually quite a lot in this instruction. It says, constantly taking heed, therefore, how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Now, the word walk here, as we've discussed, and it's in the previous passage as well, we're looking at a walk. How we conduct our life is basically what it means, is take a lot of care about how you conduct your life. And that's good advice. But this is a really, this is not just fluff on our life. This is a necessary aspect of life for us. It makes a huge difference when we do this. It makes a huge difference as how we do this. So be constantly taking heed, and that is always doing it. It's a present. So present tense, so from now and all the time in the future, we are constantly taking heed or paying close attention to the way we walk, how we conduct our life. Not as unwise, but as wise. And this little phrase in here, this idea is in this several times in this text. Don't be unwise, be wise. Don't be foolish, be wise, not unwise. So there is a real clear distinction between the ways we can apply this or not. If we are wise, we're going to be applying what the apostle is writing to these Ephesian believers. If we are not going to be careful about how we conduct our life, then we are not going to be called wise. We're going to be foolish. And we're going to do foolish things, and it's going to affect us, and we're going to regret it. So wise, not unwise, but as wise. As if we were wise, we conduct our life as if we were wise ones, not as if we were unwise ones. This is a really important thing, because we don't often think, when we're in the middle of stuff, we're not always thinking about, okay, is this wise? Is this wise? We don't keep two lists and then say, okay, let's see, what do I do here? No, we're constantly concentrating on the care that we give to the life we live, so that we are characterized as making the wise choices, doing the wise thing, rather than the unwise thing. Because we probably could do either one. But we are constantly taking care, taking heed as to how we conduct our life, so that we are among the wise, the ones that do it the right thing, the ones that benefit from it, the ones that don't have to regret the mistakes that they've made. Then it says, always be evaluating how exactly, this isn't waste here, this translation based upon the actual word, the Greek text, okay? Be evaluating on a constant basis how exactly, the word doesn't really mean it's exact, how exactly you pass your life. Be always evaluating how exactly we pass our life, we live our life. It's a constant thing we're always doing. It's like breathing, we always do that. And we are always evaluating how exactly we fit with the wise life as we live it. And we may have to make mid-course corrections in this because of, so that we are complying with wisdom, with God's word, with his intent, rather than having to deal with all of the stuff that we could do that we will regret and ends up biting us. Always be evaluating what exactly how exactly you pass your life, not as if you were unwise, but as if you were wise. And we do this by, in the text, making the most of your decisive moments, making the most of your time. Some translations use making the most of each opportunity. It has to do with how we invest, how we buy back our time in order to use it wisely, in order to fulfill the time we have in a wise fashion as we live through it. Make sense? That we are, we are purchasing these quantities of time so that we will do it according to God's design, and so that we won't have to backtrack. We won't have to always seek forgiveness, and we won't be necessarily characterized. We won't be perfect, but see how exactly we can do this, and we buy up the opportunities. All of these desired moments, these decisive moments. We come to many of these decisive moments throughout our life. Some of them are really big ones, and some of them are really small ones, but they are decisive moments. And we buy these up so that we can make those decisions at the proper time and the proper way to be wise. And it's during these days of evil. Literally, it means malignant passions. Malignant. That has a bad connotation with us, doesn't it? Because if there's a growth in our body that is malignant, it means this is wrong. This is bad for us. Cancer, a malignancy. And we are living in days, as were the Ephesians, living in times when, and during the decisive moments, they really have to make these decisions well, because these days are filled with malignant passions, passions that are hurting, passions that just get out of control so fast. So the first point that we're making in terms of how we conduct our life is make the most of our decisive moments. Whether they are small decisive moments or whether they're really big decisive moments, that we reflect the wisdom that God is encouraging us to use here. That we may pass our life as wise, not as unwise. Okay. So the first point, make the most of your decisive moments. Make the most of your time. It's not just about being efficient. That's part of it. It's more than just efficiency, so that we get more done in a shorter period of time. That's not exactly what it means. It means that we are making the decisions that are the right decisions according to God's word and according to the life that God has put in us by the presence of his Holy Spirit. So it's his life that we're living. Okay? Next, he says, do not be foolish. There it is again, a different way of saying don't be unwise, but be wise. Do not be foolish, but honestly put together in your mind. Assemble in your mind. Very literally, it is we take the pieces of information and we put them together in our mind so that it complies with what God is saying. Okay, rather than mix them up so we can make a loophole, we are saying, let's put these things together as they really comply with what God says. Honestly, we're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to find excuse or anything like that. We're simply taking what God has said, and we're seeking to apply it to our life. Very honestly. Now, we can fool ourselves, but that would be foolish. We could fool other people. That would be foolish. But in fact, that part of it comes in later. But we are very honestly putting the things together in our minds so that it fits with what God is saying. Okay. So what does that do? Well, that's how we come to an understanding and an account for the will of the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. The putting things together honestly in our mind is at the root of understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I have to tell you that I sometimes scramble stuff up. And sometimes it's unintentional. There are times when I do it intentionally so that I can find an excuse or find a loophole in things so that I can do something that maybe I really want to do or think things that I really want to dwell on that just don't comply with what God is saying. And according to this, that's foolish. We don't do that. We need to, and also is an, it inhibits our understanding of what the will of the Lord is. We find loopholes. We're not seeking the will of the Lord. We're seeking the will of me. And we're trying to get by with something that does not comply with what he said. And there's a lot of specifics in Scripture that just doesn't seem to be real clear, right? There's some things that, man, it just would be so good if somehow we could have another list of commandments. And if he could just write down these things about what foods we need to eat or what foods we need to avoid or what things that we cannot do anymore. Now, for me, as a youngster, we had lists like that. And although I was mentioning about these dances of this guy on the walk, dances was something, no. That was one of these things that were pretty clear among people in my day. And so I'd get a note from the teacher so I didn't have to dance in phys ed. Not from the teacher, from my parents. And they were glad to give it. But then, I have to tell you, our church joined some other churches and we went on roller skating parties. And it messed with me. Because people could do on skates what you couldn't do without them. And I really wondered about that. How can this be? Does that fit in with this? Is that kind of were we complying with what God actually said? We were trying to, but I think we missed it in some respects. Now, the things that I learned not to do, I could live through that by not doing them. Yeah. But understanding what the will of the Lord is the key to it. Not that I can figure out an excuse so I can do what I want. But understand and account for what the will of the Lord is. See, these are wise principles in this that Paul is telling us about. Make the most of your decisive moments. Make wise choices, and then understand and account for the will of the Lord. It's not just about what we want. It's about what the Lord has told us, what the Lord wants for us. And there are some things that sometimes we would just rather him just say, okay, you don't do that. sometimes it doesn't comply with what he actually has said. But stick with what God said. Next. Do not pursue a course that abandons control, such as being drunk with wine or other excesses. Do not be drunk with wine, because that's excessive. The idea of this, the excess, is being controlled by it, being come under a deep influence of it. And here we, I think it's appropriate if we say, okay, wine is mentioned in here, in this particular passage. That might have been the thing that was a problem with the Ephesian church, one of them. But the same kind of thing, excesses. Whatever it is that works to excess in our life can produce the same kind of results that we are governed by something else, not God. It is something else that the decisive moments are determined then by what we are excessing about. There's many things that we could put in there as to specific things. The key thing is, what is excessive? What controls? What is it that dominates us? And if we say that it only refers to wine, then we can have a loophole with all kinds of other stuff. Because in the passage it just says, don't be drunk with wine wherein it's excess. Or, the word that Kenneth Wiest used was profligacy. That means more than is healthy. But here, don't be drunk. Don't be out of control by something other than what he says to be controlled by. Because that's the whole point of the verse. Do not become excessive about being controlled by something. Don't pursue a course where you abandon control, but live in compliance with the Spirit. And here, compliance does mean control. The English term is usually filled, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled is that directive that influences every aspect of our life. That is what the Holy Spirit's task is. Among believers, the Holy Spirit lives within the believers, and he begins to control. He begins to produce things that apart from him would never show up very much, except by imitation of other people. This is where God the Holy Spirit is driving us, is empowering us. And the word empowering is a biblical term. He gives us power to do what he has called us to do. And all of these things that the Holy Spirit brings to us, like we're talking about in WOW, in the adults of the in WOW on Wednesday, all of these things that the Holy Spirit is doing with the believer, and what the Holy Spirit does with those who do not yet believe. The ultimately is that we are in compliance, that we are filled with, that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And once we are controlled by God, it's not excessive. It's merely eternal. It's merely omnipotent. Because it is God's power within us to do what he wants us to do. There's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing bad about it. There's nothing unwise about our total submission and compliance with the Holy Spirit living in us. This is a pivotal verse. Not quite so much as maybe a couple of them down the line here. But here we have, make the most of your desired moments. Make the most of this times when we have these choices about being wise or unwise. Make the most of them by choosing the wise part. And then understanding what the will of the Lord is. Come to understand and put it to pieces in our minds so that we understand just what God wants of us. And doing it at the expense of everything else. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in compliance with stuff, with things, with desires, with activities, with all kinds of things that don't necessarily accomplish what God wants of us. It's time for us to really have focus, and that's what this is talking about, this passage. In fact, live in compliance with the Holy Spirit. There's a number of things that is the result of this, that's listed in the passage. It results in harmonious living. I use the word harmonious because it is hard to sing harmony with yourself. But harmony is necessary, and there has to be more than one person. It's always enjoyable. For me, it's enjoyable to sing harmony with somebody. Someone singing melody and singing harmony. I love that. We're working together. And there's so many musical rules that have to be applied in order to do it well. Balance, tone, blend, all of these different things that are words that describe how it is done well, and taking advantage of those times when it happens. Resulting in harmonious living, having a singing heart. A singing heart. It mentions several things in here that characterizes a singing heart, where we are singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That's what it is. Singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. We're also making harmony with one another, by the by. And it's in Psalms. What are Psalms? Well, we have the longest book in the Bible, 150 Psalms, and in a little book within about the middle of the Bible. A psalm is actually a song that is sung to the accompaniment of instruments. There's all kinds of different songs in the book of Psalms. There's psalms that are written especially to be sung as you're walking in up to the temple. The songs of ascent. There's different kinds of them. There's imprecatory psalms where you want your enemies to die, you know, that kind of thing. And there are songs about that. And these were intended to be sung with accompanying instruments. In fact, David, who wrote many of the psalms, also invented musical instruments to accompany them. That's the psalms. And then there's hymns. Hymns are those that are directed as to who God is and what he has done for us. It's focused on God. Many of our worship songs have that focus. Totally appropriate. Those are the hymns. They're not necessarily accompanied by musical instruments, like Paul and Silas in the dungeon. They didn't have an organ or a band to accompany them, but they were singing at midnight, and it caused quite a stir. Acts 16, if you read it. Then there's another one, and that is spiritual songs. These are testimony songs. These are songs about how we our experience with God, and the songs that we share with one another. They're about relationship with God and relationship with each other. Can you think of one? There are many of them that we really like. There is joy in serving Jesus, victory in Jesus, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. These are testimony songs, and that's part of it. And by the way, the word for these songs, we get the word ode from the Greek word. It is a matter of our singing and encouraging one another. A singing heart. Sometime within the next 8 or 10 weeks, spring is going to happen. And it's going to be encouraging for us. We're going to have birds come along and sing to us, and we're going to walk down maybe the same streets that these tracks followed, and he'll be going on with a spring in his step. Maybe he'll still be dancing. Another is a grateful life. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks concerning all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Our whole life, then, is a statement of thanksgiving to God. And The Greek text actually is giving thanks to God concerning this. There's a little difficulty sometimes when we think we have to thank God for bad things that happen. We can if you want. But this says we are thankful to God concerning all of those things that happen, whether they're good or bad. Whatever our condition is, to give thanks. Colossians 3:17 also speaks of the same thing. And then the last part. I'm going to introduce to you a word that is the most hated word in the English language, especially nowadays. We have fearless, loving relationships. Now, let me tell you the dangerous word and then explain how this means having fearless and loving relationships. The word is submit. Are you kidding me? Someone else is making a choice for me? I have to change my life to fit something else? I can't have everything I want? No, you can't. Once we get to that point and we understand what that really means, and I'm telling you that phrase right there, verse 21, is the turning point of what we're about to see in the next chapter, throughout the rest of chapter 5 and into chapter 6. Submit. Oh, how people hate this word. Because we have to subjugate ourselves to somebody else. Somebody else is going to be having such great influence on us. And they may not want us to, they may not like what we like. They may be different. Thank God that they are. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. The whole purpose of this is to submit ourselves to one another, is so that our relationships, fearless. The thing that makes relationships so difficult is that we're afraid of them because we don't trust them. We cannot submit to someone else, and much of it is because we have great fears. But you see, God the Holy Spirit is producing this. It is God the Holy Spirit is controlling. Remember, this is what's happening because of God the Holy Spirit is in control. So our relationships, far from being intimidating and threatening and binding and putting us in our own jails and stuff, this is what frees us. This is what makes those relationships fearless, because God is in control and we're not. When God controls, well, what does he say? The Psalms. He's even able to make our enemies be at peace with us. It is this fear in differences and disagreements and so on that really weasels itself into our relationships. And so we say, oh, I can't trust him. There's just no way. I'm not going to submit. Well, Romans 6, you will submit. You do get a chance, you get the choice of who you submit to. Here, we are submissive to one another in the fear of Christ. So, our relationships are fearless, and they are loving relationships, because they don't originate with us, and they're not sustained by our own abilities. They're sustained by the power of God in us. And that's how we can face this terrible word, submit, with confidence, because God is the one who is at the heart of making that reality in our life. Well, the fellow that was on the walk, I saw the tracks leaving the dentist's office. So I thought, okay, let's see what happens. So he was going from the dentist office, and he took a different route. He didn't go back the same way he came. He was getting to my street. But even so, he cut through a parking lot, and there was a street corner where they had put the Legos on there so you wouldn't slip. Remember? It was launch pads. And he walked right up to that, and the next step, some snow on top of ice. The next footprint was a long sliding mark that ended in a snow angel. I was guessing, okay. He was probably thinking at the time, I'm foolish for not walking carefully. I hope nobody saw that. I reminded myself to be mindful of circumstances so I won't cause myself lingering pain. It's interesting. His footprints look just like the sole of my shoes. What an adventure. Walk carefully. Yeah. Wise, not unwise. Account for the will of God. Pursue the submission to God, the Holy Spirit. And then pursue how He leads us in our relationships with one another. Walk carefully. Conduct your life carefully. Take great pains to be wise. And so the text tells us. Pray with me, would you please? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace, for the way that you are able to work in our lives, even when we're kind of dull and unwise. Thank you, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit within us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of those decisive moments that we face. Lots of them every day. Help us, Father, not to pursue being how we pursue control, that we would pursue the control of yourself rather than the things in our life that become excesses and seem to and want to claim much more than is appropriate. Please help us, and help us, please allow us to help one another in this too, so that we are a harmonious church family. And we give you the glory and praise for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.